message, I guess I mean to say, but thinking about us and thinking how we can excel to find a better place and position with God is to enjoy God, to take us to a place of happiness. I want to focus my conversation, my devotional this morning, on the subject of a place of happiness. Are you happy this morning? Don't be quick to answer. You're so wonderful. When I ask you a question, you quickly respond. But I really want you to ponder the questions that I pose before you. Are you happy? Are you happy in your life? I'll give you the definition of happiness in just a second, but let's first read out of Matthew 25 and 23. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. And here's the reward for good service. Here's the reward of the Lord for good service. Come and share in your master's happiness." I want you to think about what he's talking about. Here he is talking to a servant. A servant he has found faithful, a servant he has found working and busy and about the kingdom work. And now it's time for payday. Now it's time for the reward. Now it's time to receive what he's going to get and receive from his good work and service. And what the Lord offers him here and tells him here is, could be possibly, at least in today's society, and probably all generations, it might not have been what they were expecting. Because normally when you work for someone, you expect a little encouragement. Nothing says I love you like hard cold cash. Right, ladies? Nothing says thank you like something. Nothing says I appreciate you like, here, I went out and got you this, and you're able to weigh it and take it home and say, this is what I got for my service. But what the Lord said, come here and enjoy happiness. What kind of reward is happiness? What kind of value is the Lord giving happiness to pay his servants? Think about this for a moment. After our service unto the Lord, however many years God has privileged you to walk with him and to serve him, when we go to heaven, I said, when we go to heaven, that's a good place to say amen. Anybody going to heaven? Somebody, if we take earthly standards, may be expecting that reward that will allow us to step into his palace and live like kings in an earthly fashion, where we don't have to work anymore. And people, you can imagine the palm trees and the cheese and the grapes being fed to you. Now that's a reward. After all these years of toil, suffering, and facing the challenges of living a holy life, when we get to heaven, you would expect God, who is the owner of the cattle of 1,000 hills, the God that calls heaven his throne and the earth his footstool, the God who is in control and owns everything that exists, was made by him, for him, would bring us all into His presence and say, come in. It's time to be happy. Wow. I thought about that this week. Lord, You're gonna give us happiness. And You automatically compare with the happiness that we suppose to think we know on earth. Does anybody know what it is to be happy? Why are you not raising your hand? I said, does anybody really know what it's like to be happy? Yeah, this is Jesus, all right. I venture to say that one of the reasons you are not quick to raise your hand to hold it up is because you know whatever you have called joy doesn't last forever. Maybe I should say, how many have known joy for a few hours? It's short-lasting. To be happy is a state of well-being, contentment, satisfied, and fulfilled. And so the question of the hour this morning is, are you experiencing in your life today the state of well-being, contentment? Are you living a life of fulfillment and satisfaction? Something about happiness is, it really is, if you look at today's generation and look back since the beginning, happiness is an obsession for people today. In our country, in this generation, people on a daily basis are out venturing and doing everything they can in search of this very elusive treasure, happiness. Our country was founded giving us the humanitarian right to pursue happiness with everything we can. The right to seek life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And so because in our country, and God bless America. I said, God bless America. Bless the land that you live on. Bless the country that God has given you to live. You could have been born in a third world country. But you were born in this wonderful country. In this country where you are fed. You are provided for and you have privileges and freedom. Because we have that privilege and right to pursue it, we have seen generation after generation go through extremes to find the best ways to achieve again this many times elusive dream of happiness. We've traveled highway upon highway trying to find true delight and unreserved bliss for ourselves. There are some well-trodden trails that all of us are aware of, if you'll just pay attention, that people are traveling on today in search of happiness. Let me name a few. What about the highway and trailway of possessions? This road is the road that will take you to a place where you can obtain all material things and wealth, good possessions for yourself, anything you can put your hands on, believing in your heart that if you'll just have everything you can, all the material things you can conjure up in your life, you will find happiness. Somewhere in the wrappings of all those things you achieve, you open it up, and inside one of those wrappings, you'll find this great treasure, happiness. Others have traveled down the road of popularity and fame. This is the road that tells you that If you will just be well-liked by everybody, receive that popular vote amongst the masses, somehow it will leave behind the dust, the gold dust of happiness and joy in your heart. The more people applaud you, oh, Pastor Soto. The more people that hooray you, the more people that open the door for you, somehow they will fill your cup within your heart with true delight and joy, only to come and find that in this world you can't please everybody. It's an elusive dream. You can't please everybody. And sadly enough, for many of us, and probably all of us, a time or two, you will find the investment that you make to please everyone will always bring you a small return. Amen? How about that well-traveled road to power and dominance? That's the road that tells you if you can just get to a place where you assume control of everything. There are people today by the hordes running after the handle of power over people, business, home, and things, believing that if they just can get to a place where all things stream down, where all things will submit to you, true joy is what you will achieve. If you can just be the boss, you can order happiness. You can just tell people to bring you happiness. If you can just demand it because you are in control. And finally, there's another road even you may not really pay too much attention to, but there is a road called disregard and carelessness. Some people travel down this road in search of happiness. That means this is the road that will take you to a place of irresponsibility, where you are responsible for nothing, nothing at all. You don't want to hold on to anything, be responsible for anything in life. That way no one can blame you for anything. Isn't it incredible? Sometimes you will meet somebody who seems to not have a care in the world. And in your heart, in your mind, you think these people are going to live forever. Why? Because you're stressed by your own life. There are people that can say, hey, if I don't have a job, no car, no family, no responsibility, this is my claim to fame, I will truly be happy. I'll be completely untangled with everything that brings unhappiness in this world. Happiness. All these roads that I've talked about are so popular in our modern society today. And why shouldn't they be? We are absolutely licensed, you and I, to excavate through life on a daily basis to find this precious treasure called happiness. But here's the truth of the matter. That as advanced our world is today, as up to date and modernized the mind of man claims to be, with so many opportunities that we have to make a lot of money, and many have, with so many choices given to us to own possessions and material and beautiful things from homes and cars and all these things, and many have, the open market to reach the highest plateaus of power and success, and many have. A wonderful area or highway to travel where you can find popularity, fame, become the movie star that you want, the leader of the pack, and many have. You will see that bitterness, unhappiness, discontentment, and distress are the most popular conditions of the world. You are afraid to confess total happiness. And I'm talking to the body. Are you with me this morning? All the science and knowledge and power the world has spent endless time and money to find this hidden treasure, happiness. And all we have found is a temporary opiate here and there, a light anesthetic for this hurting world. Something that'll make you happy, just like we admitted a moment ago, just for a couple of hours, just for a moment. Now, let me just say this as a disclaimer. There's nothing wrong with having wealth. There's nothing wrong with being popular. There's nothing wrong with being a supervisor or even a boss, a director, an owner. Nothing wrong. Nothing wrong with that. But what I am saying, ladies and gentlemen, is that many times we focus our eyes to find something that only God can give on temporal things. And we're going to find this morning very simply, and this is why I'm here, to refocus your eyes so that the next time we ask, is anyone truly happy, every hand will hold up and stay up instead of just kind of half-heartedly. We want to refocus on the real things. We are believers in Christ. Do I have any Christians in the house? Well, then let me speak to the Christians. Every unbeliever has every right to be sad. But there's no excuse for the believer. I said, there's no excuse for you. The Bible teaches us, you and I, as it does in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 18, it teaches us, and I'm just going to paraphrase a lot of this scripture for the sake of time, but it teaches us to focus not on temporal things, but on eternal things. To focus our eyes not on temporary things that are seen, but the eternal things that are unseen. The Bible teaches us in every way it can the temporary nature of the world that you and I live in today. Constantly teaching us to go beyond this present world into the eternal things that God has prepared for you and I. 1 John 2:17, the world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. James 4:14 compares life to a vapor or a mist that appears only for a moment and then vanishes. 2 Corinthians 5:1 likens our earthly bodies to tents or bodies that are temporary versus the eternal homes that we have with God. It separates us. That means that everything you look to provide for you in a long, eternal way, you're not going to find upon the face of this earth. Matthew 6:19 instructs us not to store up treasures here on earth where they are destroyed, but to lay our treasures in heaven where nothing corrupts them. Amen. And so forth, we have the scripture encouraging us to prioritize on spiritual things, eternal pursuits, instead of temporary material possessions. To find eternal things. And that is where true joy and fulfillment, satisfaction will be found by all. I'm here to tell you this morning that you can join if you want the relentless hunt for happiness and continue moving forward as you're doing today, trying to find your joy in worldly things. But I promise you, you will find them not. Because true, genuine joy and happiness are only found in Christ. Now, you may find something that resembles happiness, as you have proven this morning with a show of hands. But you'll soon find out, as all of us, I believe, have, every ounce of or things that we find in this world that we think are going to bring us eternal joy are made of synthetic ingredients and materials. They may make you jump and smile for a while or two, but in a moment, that happiness will dissipate and fade. The Bible says in Psalm 16 and 11, "You have made known to me the path of life, and you will fill me with joy in your presence." Come and enjoy the happiness of your Lord. Again, focusing our eyes that if you want joy and happiness, you're only going to find it in one place. I've come to challenge us this morning to redirect our pursuit of happiness and encourage those of us who are already on our pursuit of happiness in God to press even harder, because things are getting more difficult on a daily basis. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, Paul intensely gives us that counsel that's, and speaking of himself, he said, we need to press on toward the goal for which Christ has taken hold of. And so we have tried everything in this world. It's time to try Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen. Think about Jesus just for a moment. The Jesus that you know in Scripture. And let's look at earthly things in his life. The Bible tells us that Jesus neither came wearing designer robes or expensive apparel. He didn't come into Jerusalem in a custom-made chariot limousine. He didn't come as a leader of some great army under his command. Yet the Bible describes him as the happiest man in the world. Now, let's not misunderstand. Some of you may have remembered right now that he was described by Isaiah as a man of many sorrows. But I need to refocus you and give you understanding. The sorrows that he experienced was not because he was unhappy. It was for you. Come on. He couldn't have been happy. The Bible says he was a man of many sorrows. Yeah, but he wasn't unhappy because he was unhappy. He was sorrow-filled because of you and I. He knew the depth of true joy. And his joy stemmed from his relationship with his Father. His joy came about because of the success of his mission. He experienced profound joy, particularly in his social and personal relationship with those he walked with. He was approachable and happy enough that even children came to hang on his neck. He was a happy man. He was joyful in his purpose, in his happiness. His happiness was tied to him because he loved what he did, healing and forgiving and redeeming. It brought joy to others, therefore it birthed joy in him. And thus we have the invitation of the Lord in Matthew 25 and 21. Come and share in your master's happiness. Come and see what it really is to be happy. And so this morning, if you want happiness in your life, happiness in your home, I'm glad you're here. Because it's time to refocus our pursuit. It's time to realign ourselves with what we think will bring happiness to our marriage. What will bring happiness to our children. What will bring happiness to your relationship with your wife, with your friendships, and even in the church. You remember that old nativity passage we read when the angels came to the shepherds and they announced to them and they said, this Jesus is going to come and bring great joy to the world. And if that was so, then why so much bitterness? Why all the depression, all the sadness, all the sorrow in the lives of us, the believers? I believe it's proven in Scripture that the reason that we as believers experience profound sadness is because, ladies and gentlemen, there is a fundamental separation between us and God many times. We don't pay attention to how close we are to God in our walk. When you separate from God, it leads you to a lack of inner peace, purpose, and hope. When we separate ourselves from God, we are left nothing but to deal with our sin, fear, unresolved frailties and shortcomings in our own life. When you step away from God, you lose purpose and the meaning. Without your Creator involved in the daily life, you will perceive yourself as a devoid, a person in purpose in your life, causing an existence crisis, if you will. You won't even know why you're here. When we separate ourselves from God, we lose our godly shape. Now, I'm not talking about our physical shape. I fear that Christ would look like me. But your godly shape spiritually. You see, you and I, ladies and gentlemen, were created to live in God's presence and to be like Him. Remember, we were created in His, what? In His image. And so to step away from the Lord, you lose your godly form. We have been designed to move through life with Him, to walk like Him. To not walk with Him will reveal nothing but an emptiness, a formless emptiness. Leaving and stepping away from God will cause us to lose true comfort. In times of tragedy, we won't find anyone who will give us that divine comfort, hope. When we step away from the Lord, He'll leave you only to do everything and make your only effort in your heart to make yourself feel good. And what that will do is cause you to seek worldly pursuits to scratch that desire and that itch for happiness deep inside you. Happiness. Wow, I thought about happiness being the great reward. That can only lead us to understand that in this world, that's one thing that is missing by a great margin is happiness. Now, we love to read Scripture and hear pastors speak to us about the abundant blessings that we have, right? Jesus said, if you two will agree over anything, they will receive what they ask for in prayer. Jesus said, pray so that your joy may be complete. And so we pray and we pray and we pray, but what we're praying for is the problem. Listen to me carefully. I don't want to confuse you. We have the blessing and the privilege and have been given the vehicle of prayer to pray and lift up holy hands before God and ask of Him. That's not the problem. The problem is what we're asking. It's through that prayer that we pursue material things. Father, give us that big house. Oh, Lord, give us that car. Oh, Lord, give us the lottery. Because if you'll respond, Lord, to that prayer, you say we could pray. You say we could ask you anything, and you would respond to us, oh, God, if you would just allow us to get that position. And all we're praying for are those material things that we think are going to come and bring us true joy. Are you following me now? So that's a misaligned prayer. I'm not saying that you shouldn't pray for your home or for your job. But when you start praying for these things because you're dependent on these things to bring you joy, you are sadly mistaken. we must remember that what God is rewarding when we get to heaven are many things, but I'll just give you three real quick, and I'll be done in 15 minutes, 5 minutes. He's not rewarding us because we were owners of many companies or had many possessions or were very popular or because we were most this or the other. He's rewarding us because we stayed saved. How about being happy because we're saved? No. Lamborghini would just drive a safe person so good. $1 million in the bank would make this saved guy feel like that much better. How about just being happy because we're saved? I want you to think about your salvation. In the book of Hebrews, we are told that we will not escape if we ignore this salvation. Amen? And there's great warning in that passage. But I'm wondering if the Lord is giving us that threat in His Word simply because He wants to scare us. You better not lose that. No, because He knows that we hunger for happiness. Take care of salvation, because the Bible says in Deuteronomy 33 and 29, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, people saved by the Lord. One of the greatest reasons I believe the Lord tells us to guard our salvation is because it will provide for us what we cry for the most, happiness. We're trying to get a lollipop to make us happy. We're trying to get something temporal to make us happy. And God's saying, that's not going to make you happy. Be happy because you're saved. What could possibly bring us more joy than knowing that your sins are forgiven? What could bring us more joy than to know that the wages that you owed unto Him because of your transgressions are forever erased from your account? Psalms 144 says, happy is that people. That is, in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Why people are so unhappy today, so vindictive, so regretful, so sorrow-filled and unfulfilled, is because they have nothing to face but their shortcomings in life, and they can do nothing about them. They walk around unhappy with themselves, and little do they know that Jesus came to save us from all of that, to set us free. That we could come to Him the way we are, and He will unload all these negative things that come to bring us down and bring us into the light of His joy and happiness, an inexpressible joy, distinct altogether from worldly happiness. And so, are you happy today? How about God makes us and we allow ourselves to step into a place where God can make us happy all day? There is such a place. Number two, how about being happy that God is willing to lead us? Think about that. That God did not leave us on this journey alone, but that He committed Himself to get us home. That alleviates us from a lot, ladies and gentlemen. The biggest trouble that the people of Babel had in the times of Nimrod was that they thought they had to figure out a way to get to heaven. We don't. You don't have to figure out anything. You don't know how to get there. But He is willing to lead you there. And that should bring great joy, because it alleviates from the responsibility of having to strategize. What do I do? How do I have to work it? What trail do I take? While all this time the Lord is saying, let me lead you. Job 5 and 17 says, truly that man is happy who has training from the hand of God. Think about that. If you go to Job 5 and 20, if you will allow, let's read 17 first. He said, truly that man is happy who has training from the hand of God, so do not let your heart be shut from the teachings of the ruler of all. Verse 20, when there is need of food, he will keep you from death. In war, from power of the sword, he will keep you safe from the evil tongue, and you will have no fear of wasting when it comes. He will make sport of destruction and need, and will have no fear of the beasts of the earth, for you will be in agreement with the stones of the earth, and the beasts of the field will be at peace with you. And you will be certain that your tent is at peace, and after looking over your property, you will see that nothing is gone. You will be certain that your seed will be great, and your offspring like the plants of the earth. You will come to your last resting place in full strength, as the grain is taken up to the crushing floor in its time. But how does it begin? Happy is the man who is trained by God. You know, the biggest problem that we have as people in this world today is disobedience. Running out of time. Disobedience. Correction, teaching. Employees don't like to listen to the boss. Kids don't like to listen to their teachers. Children at home don't like to listen to their parents. Husbands don't like to listen to their wives. Whew. Churches don't like to be told to come to church regularly. Churches don't like to be told to be faithful in their stewardship. Churches don't like to be told that there is service. You need to stop what you're doing, leave the compadre at home, and you need to come to church. You don't tell me what to do. I do what I want. When we are unsaved, that's a characteristic of the unsaved, unteachable. But if you're saved, all of that should have been left behind. Sadly enough, when we are disobedient children, remember, everyone out of God is a son of disobedience. We bring that disobedience into the house of God, and you bring it into your relationship with God. Then when God begins to speak to you concerning things that he is telling you to do, you stiffen your jaw and your neck, you straighten your back, and you say, no. And you want to be happy. And you want to be happy. Can a child be happy in a home where he shows nothing but disobedience to his parents? We've made our choices in our lives and we've made our mistakes in life. It's time to let God lead us. If you want to be happy, it was the psalmist who said, in your presence there is joy, eternal joy. Wasn't it David who said, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not be in want. He what? Really? You don't know? He leadeth me. Somebody tell your neighbor, God needs to lead you. It's a big mistake to lead yourself. That's why you're unhappy. Ow! Did you already pick up the offering? And I don't care. He leadeth me. Let us learn to be led by God. You've gotten yourself in a mess until now. He's the one that will take you and lead you up joyful running rivers. He will lead you up true joy and happiness if you learn to listen. Happy is the man who is trained by God. This is why we can't hold our hand up for more than a couple of seconds. Because you know your plans haven't worked. But if God had been leading you, your hand would still be up even as I continue preaching. Because His leading always works. And I'll finish with, be happy for each other. We were talking about a great church. Amen? You are a great church. You are. If I would ever receive the challenge of doing this again, I would do it with no one else except you. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I would choose not to travel this past 40 years of my life in service to the Lord if you weren't included in my trip. You're a great church. Learn to be happy with each other. The Word of God genuinely instructs us to foster peace amongst us. It encourages on a daily basis everywhere to rejoice with those who rejoice. To promote empathy and community and selfless love. Encouraging believers to celebrate others. To love others. To be there for others. Listen to Romans 12 and 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for the good things in the sight of all men. If it's possible, as much as it depends on you, that means you have to make a personal effort to live peaceably with all men. You have no friends? The Bible says you must be friendly if you desire friends. God rejoices when we love each other. And it begins with children loving their parents, with parents loving their children, siblings loving their siblings, friends loving their friends, neighbors loving their neighbors. And believers loving and caring for believers. We live in a world today whose mantra is get all you can, put it in a can, and sit on the can. That means in this world, it's only me. I look out for number one. I get what I can, I put it in a can, and I sit on the can so no one can get it. Such a selfish world. But God did not design us that way. Since the beginning, God did not design us that way. You remember the garden? What did God say about Adam's loneliness? He said he saw that it was not good. Right? And he saw that it was not good. It's not good for man to be alone. So he gave him Eve. Man, today I'm so glad my Lord gave me my wife. Let me just rave on her a little bit. I know this girl for, gosh, almost 50 years, babe. We have been single in this world a fraction of the time we've been together. We have been in love for 48, going on 49 years. Three times your lifetime, man. Eat your heart out. I'm glad it started with Adam. And because of Adam's loneliness, and God saw that it was not good for him, he saw it wasn't good for me. And I'm glad he made you for me. 48 years of love. And today is her birthday. Let me get back to my sermon. Him creating Eve for Adam clearly expresses and implicates to us that the Lord sees companionship, community, partnership as important in our lives. This was made to bring Adam happiness, communion, someone to spend life with. Psalms 133, David describes the beauty of the unity amongst God's people, how beneficial and how it births righteousness, delightful and harmonious feelings and joy, exuberant joy, when there is a community that sticks together and loves each other. It's compared, it goes, it seems like it's far-fetched, but it goes on to even describe itself as a form of anointing. A freshness of the Spirit of the Lord, a precious oil, a dew, a refreshingness that comes over the life of a person when he is in love, when he loves people. The blessing of unity brings joy and delight to all. There are no lone rangers in the kingdom. If you are living by yourself and are friendly to no one, you are living against God's will for your life. God wants you to have friends and brothers. It's a beautiful thing because he did not leave us alone to make this journey to heaven by ourselves. Who will comfort you when you're hurting? Who will support you when you have need? Who will help you when you are hungry? Who can you call to share your heart? Who will pray for you in time of need? Who will visit you by your sick bed? You need friends. You need community. We need each other. I need you. I need all of you. I've been through certain things in my life in the past 10 years. And many of you have walked with me. You're still here and you saw me almost dying at this pulpit. But I had my friends. I had you to call me and pray for me. When I would crawl up this pulpit by the help of my guys, you would go over there and carefully hang on my neck and tell me, "Be encouraged, Pastor, we love you." I needed that. You helped me survive. You made me want to come back. You made me want to fight. Some of you went to my home and you prayed for me. You looked at me and in your tears you saw what grave condition I was in. And maybe in your own mind you said, this guy better settle his business here on earth because Pastor looks like he's gone. But you sat there and encouraged me. I needed you. I needed you. And you need me. Admit it or not, you need me. I love you. I don't throw that word around. We need community. There's a story in the Bible. You have time for this. There's a story in the Bible that you will find in the book of 1 Kings about this prophet that was going through a battle with this very ugly woman, Jezebel. She was out to kill him. There were over 400 priests of Baal, satanic devils that were casting witchcraft and doing all these things, trying to kill the people of God, and they had done a good job at it by then. They had destroyed the church. Many people had lost and walked away from their faith in the living God. And here was Elijah. And he was broken because of the threats. And he felt alone and he ran up to a mountain hill to hide. And he cried out to God. He said, Lord, am I the only one? I'm the only one who has zeal for God. He was feeling like worthy of dying. Wasn't it David who said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and find peace for myself. He couldn't find anyone to embrace him. And so it was with Elijah. Jezebel was in hot pursuit after him. The prophets of Baal were waiting to find him, to crucify him. And he cries out, but then the Lord came to stir him and speak to him. And came reminded, he said, hey, Elijah, you're not alone in this battle, buddy. You may feel like you're alone, but you're not alone. You're not the only one I'm working on. You're not the only one that I love and I'm keeping. It's not all about you, Elijah. There's still over 7,000 people who have not bowed their knees to this wicked queen. When you're alone, it's easy to become and be invaded by thoughts of, what's the use? What am I here for? I'm the only one, no one ever this, no one ever that. But I've come to remind you, look around. You're not the only one. I'm here too. They're all here too. Everyone is here too. The problem is you need to look up and see them. Develop community. Love people. Be respectable. Be an encourager of people. And you will find that when we all get to heaven, you may be thinking that it's a travel you're going to make by yourself, but you're going to look, and all of a sudden there's going to be a humongous trail of millions of people making the journey to heaven. And we've never been alone. When you have friends, life is a lot happier. You have made me very happy. And if I am ever sad, I want you to know, and I'm not just saying this, I just look for a friend. I look for one of you. And I can sit there and you'll make me laugh and you'll make me smile. And I go back and I'm going like, yeah, I have someone. Maybe you're not happy today because you're not saved. God wants you to be happy and be saved. Maybe you're saved, but you're unhappy because you refuse to listen to God's instruction. God wants you to begin to listen and obey His instruction. And maybe you're here and you're unhappy because you feel like you have no friends. Don't just get up and walk out of here. I'm not chopped liver. I'm your friend and brother. Learn to say, I love you, brother. Turn around, tell your neighbor, I'm glad you're sitting next to me. Tell them, I'm glad that you're here next to me. If they're your friends, thank them. Thank you for being my friend. Thank you for being my brother. It'll mean the world. Would you stand to your feet with me this morning? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. There is a place for happiness. I pray that more and more when I ask you on Sunday mornings, is anybody happy?